eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 6, to the choir master, with stringed instruments according to the Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears, I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief, it grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. There's a song called All My Tears. I believe it's written originally by Julie Miller, and she sung it in a duet with Emmylou Harris. But the first time I heard the song was a cover that was done by Anne Brune and played in a particularly dramatic scene in the show Peaky Blinders. But if you're familiar with the song All My Tears, it opens really with this line. When I go, don't cry for me, in my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be healed and I'll be whole. Really, the whole song is echoing the idea that there's a purpose in pain and suffering in the tears that we have, and that ultimately the line in the chorus is, all my tears will be washed away. And Psalm 6 comes to us really with that same kind of a struggle and also the same kind of hope. Psalm 6 is one of really seven penitential psalms. And the penitential psalms are these ones that are marked and dominated by grief and sadness and mourning. And certainly we see that initially in Psalm 6, where he's calling out to God, looking to him as the one who is rebuking him and asking the Lord how long he must endure this. And I was reading in Spurgeon's Treasury, he had shared a poem by Richard Baxter. I want to share that with you, really about those first two and three verses. It says, O keep up life and peace within, if I must feel thy chastening rod. Yet kill not me, but kill my sin, and let me know thou art my God. O give my soul some sweet foretaste of that which I shall shortly see. Let faith and love cry to the last, come, Lord, I trust myself with thee. Really, whenever we come to moments of mourning and suffering, you'll find oftentimes that either no words suffice, or it's words of poetry, it's words of song, it's the most beautiful things that we turn to, the ways to express our grief. And the psalmist certainly writes this in Psalm 6 in how he cries out to God and how he describes his situation. And so he moves through in after those first three verses to verse 4 and 5, where he reminds God that in death there's no remembering him. The Old Testament word is Sheol, as some pronounce it. And really, as Derek Kidner says, in the Old Testament, that's seen as this great leveler. It's this place of darkness, suffering, the place outside of life itself. And so when you come to calling to God in those moments, it is the psalmist reminding that there's nothing there. Yet what I also love about the Psalms in particular in the Old Testament is they give you these sort of glimpses of salvation, this idea that he can be saved from that, that there is there is a place for salvation from death and from no remembrance and really the leveling effects that has. In verse 6 and 7 then, he describes again that grief beyond grief, the using poetic language of weariness with moaning. And really you echo back to even the very beginning when he says, my bones are troubled, my soul is greatly troubled, his eyes are wasting away. Literally his bed is drenched with the tears that he has. And the picture is, again, with every fiber of his being, we don't want to say the bones being material and soul being immaterial part of a human, but really the idea that it's with his entire being that he is being affected and troubled so deeply. And again, unless you've shared in experiences like that, and we tend to insulate ourselves from those experiences rather than truly embrace them, it's something that shakes you to your very core. In verse 8, 9, and 10, really the end of the of this psalm, we see this change in voice. And oftentimes this is the theme in penitential psalms, that the psalmist will move from mourning and grief to this sense of speaking to God and placing faith. But verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping, is actually echoed by Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so we hear that. Depart from me, you workers of evil, or you workers of lawlessness. As I preached a sermon a few weeks ago, and in that I referred to this passage, and one of the things I said again, if you were to, as a pastor, look at what this person is accomplishing, literally they're prophesying in the name of Jesus, they're casting out demons, they're doing mighty works, that we would say that's great job security. You're doing all the things, and yet Jesus himself casts that person out, tells them to depart from him. And so it's one of those most sobering realizations that just because we accomplish those things in the name of Christ does not mean that we know Christ, that we do not do the will of the Father in heaven. But again, in verse 9 and 10, David ends the psalm with really, as Kidner says, an outburst of defiant faith. That he comes to the end, he said, the Lord has heard my plea, the Lord accepts my prayer, all my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled, they shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. And so he looks forward to that day again, that it'll change. We certainly understand in moments when we come to mourning and suffering and loss, that although we're changed by that fundamentally, although you never truly go back in a sense, we know that there's a moment that it will shift. It might not be an in a moment like he's talking about here, where suddenly the enemies are defeated, suddenly they're turned away, but it might be something where again you find yourself in a moment realizing how you've been changed and how you've moved through that process. And so we understand that there are purposes at work in tears and suffering, but as the psalmist would say, the purpose and plan of God is not suffering for his children. This is not the desired state of being, even as much as we read in Scripture that we understand the benefits and the blessings even that come through mourning. And so we have faith ultimately in God and his sovereign grace and his mercy towards us, that in a moment he will change it. Again, singing from the song, All My Tears, the very last line before the last chorus says this. It says, so weep not for me, my friend, when my time below does end. For my life belongs to him who will raise the dead again. So again, our life belongs to him who raises the dead again. And I pray that whatever tears shed and whatever mourning that is going on in your life right now will last only for the night, and that joy will come anew in the morning. Thank you for listening. Find us online under The Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks his presence to. With joyful song.